Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 175, recorded on April 12th, 2018. On tonight's episode, we discuss what Nintendo may be going to do in the next 2 months to prepare us for E3. Maybe it's a game, maybe it's announcements about online service. We don't know till they tell us. Also, did Nintendo announce a new system today? Also, press may not be getting Labo kits prior to release. What's up with that? And tons more. Zach, cue that music.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is April 12th, 2018. Joining me tonight, the first time in a long time. It's been a long time. I don't know. Justin Masson from Ireland land. What's going on, man?
It's been a long time getting from there to here.
We were saying in the pre-show, this is the first time in a very long time that all four of us have been on the show at the same time.
I do think it's been around 2 months, to be honest.
Speaking of 2 months.
It's like the Switch anniversary, right?
I think that may have been it, yeah.
Probably, yeah. Speaking of, I don't know where I'm going with that.
Consistently here and on time all the time.
Mr. Reliable Jesse Waldeck. What's going on, Jesse?
Pretty good. Though next week is up in the air. It depends on how well the internet connection is at my hotel.
Ooh,
I won't be home.
Wi-Fi, the bane of everyone's existence.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah. Promising such delights. Then you
so
connect.
Which means we won't be able to live stream to YouTube like we normally do since I'm not home. But I'll try to be on the show. And last time I had to bail halfway through because it sucked.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
Speaking of up in the air, Mr. George Clooney himself, Marty Estes, Land of the South. How are you, dude?
Never been described as George Clooney.
Yeah, well, that was a fantastic George Clooney film, Up in the Air. I don't know. Never mind. I knew it was the name of a movie, and so I quickly Googled it, and it was not.
I appreciate you trying.
Yeah,
connect and bring in other forms of media.
You know, I'm trying to keep this show relevant by bringing in obscure George Clooney movies.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what year did that film release in?
2006.
That's keep it relevant.
Wow. Okay. Well, just in case anybody is wondering, this is Nintendo Dads. Yes, it is. All right. Well, you know what? Having said all that, and unnecessary disclaimer, let's head into the news, shall we?
Do it.
And the news brought to you by Patreon.com.
Patreon.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
He had that weird pause.
Patreon. Don't let him do his job. Back off.
Patreon.com/NintendoDads. For as little as $1 a month, everybody, you can go over and get some Nintendo Dads love that you can then give to us. Actually, you can just give us money, and that's basically the same thing. So thank you to those who support the show, because you guys are amazing.
You got yourself into this hole, and you had to try and figure your way out.
I have a Beatles song in my head now, so go figure out which one that is.
All right, man. It's definitely Yellow Submarine. That's all right. Well, hey, by the way, do we have any – you guys, earlier before the show started, you guys, Marty and Jesse, did a little Patreon hangout with Jackbox, right?
Yep.
And did
you know what we found out? I'm the greatest.
Well, I already knew that. That's a given, right? So, I mean,
yeah.
But you know what? We appreciate we appreciate the all of the patrons out there who make this show possible, and that we continue to be able to do it. I think is in large part, especially as life gets crazier. I know for me especially, I know that I personally really appreciate the support, because it keeps me excited about the show and keeps me being able to, you know, justify investing in it when things get crazy. So that's awesome. Thank you so much.
Hey, Zach.
Yeah.
You know, we got Retro Rewind coming up soon.
Yeah.
Brand new one.
That's right.
And we need to tell the folks that as you listen to this, today is your last day, if you're a patron, to go over and vote in that extremely important poll to figure out what we play next month or this month. Mm-hmm. Right now, the vote is between Super Castlevania 4 and the Arcade Archives Punch-Out that just came out on the Switch. And I have to tell you, Castlevania is winning. 16-7
I'm not surprised, actually.
And, I'm super okay with that because that's my favorite Castlevania game of all time.
Yeah. I'm not surprised, but we will. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Before we segment off of this and the importance of Retro Rewind, because I do believe it's truly one of the most important things that we do, especially as Patreon supporters, they make that happen. They vote on it. I also want to make sure that our Patreon folk understand how on top of the ball and how amazing they are, because here's what happened last week in podcast land. On Wednesday, Jesse, our bearded man of the South, meets up with the director, the Nintendo dad or Nintendo directors, has this amazing Final Fantasy session, right? Retro Rewind. You know what happens?
NVC.
Two days later, NVC goes, you know what? That was a great podcast. That was a great idea. We should do a whole session on Final Fantasy III. Do you know why? Because they stole it. That's right. They listened to it. They listened to our show, and they were like, that's a fantastic idea. Who gave us that idea? Who voted for that? Our Patreon folk. Yep. So if you want to keep relevant shows like both us and NVC,
listen,
Nintendo Voice Chat going.
People think I'm joking when I say you're changing the world, right? Like that, like
they think that's a joke. That was two for oneers, what that was.
You think that's a joke, right? No. You see the actual evidence of the gospel of Nintendo Dad spreading forth.
The amount of times that we talk about something on the show, either a day earlier and then NVC does it the next day. I mean, come on, guys. Come on, right?
Undeniable. That's what I
think. That's totally like one time.
Yeah.
Do you know what the funny part is? It's actually been more than one time.
Where we
cover something. It's only because we record a day earlier than them. That's the only reason.
That's true. Yeah. But hey, can I tell you one way that they did help
out? We also love Philip Music and Pear.
When we put this poll up, who came to the rescue and told us that you could vote multiple times in it? Our patrons.
Oh, really?
Can we change it? Nope. Because it's already started.
Has Marty done the vote multiple times himself to make sure that this game wins?
No, I have not. I have not. I've not even voted. Okay. I have not even voted.
Well, you can't vote for the same thing twice, but you can vote for both.
You can vote for both.
Oh, okay. Well, that'd be dumb. That's like throwing your vote away. But, you know.
You do you, man. We should move on.
Yeah, I'm gonna. You know what? I did go in and try to fix it,
but since there was already votes, I couldn't.
Yeah,
I couldn't change that setting without,
you know,
ending the poll and starting a new one.
Somebody will look at those options better next month when we post that poll. I'm sure.
Yeah,
we all know who that someone is.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, hey guys, let's get into some talky talk over here. That's what I call this now. That's the new thing. The name of this segment. So Justin, you had an idea for the topic of the show. There's a couple of things we're going to talk about later, but, as far as like the big topic of the week, our big thing, E3 is 2 months away now. You know, we're kind of thinking about what's coming up. We know Smash Brothers is here and you had an idea for a topic. I'm going to let you. You know what I actually was noticing was like me and you, it's funny because the more that like you and I kind of like trade roles on the show, that now when we both are on the show, we're like, hey, we both go into like host mode. So
yeah,
it's like a devil went down to Georgia and hosted Nintendo Dads sort of deal. So
yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
It's the golden fiddle.
And later, if you guys want, we'll be putting up a vote of who would you like to continue to be the host, whether it's Zach or Justin. Hashtag let Justin host. But whatever. We've got t-shirts and teams made. So my idea here was I looked at the calendar. We are exactly 2 months away from E3, which is super exciting. I can't believe it has crept up to us. Now, we're not doing our prediction show for what games we're going to see announced, what is Nintendo going to show us, all of that. We're going to do that closer to the event. But really what I got thinking about is Bill Trennan recently mentioned that they have more plans that they're going to be announcing as they get closer to E3. Now, they've already announced, obviously, the Smash Brothers tournament. which will be the which is an invitation, which will be the first time that we're actually seeing Super Smash Brothers on the Switch being played, which I think is going to be fantastic. They've also announced a Splatoon 2 tournament, so those are good things. So we know that we do know there is more coming. There's no doubt about it. But what is Nintendo going to do, or what could Nintendo do over the next 2 months to prepare us as consumers, as listeners, as fans of Nintendo to position themselves ready for E3? And so some of the things that I was thinking about is like, could we potentially be seeing another Nintendo Direct maybe specifically focused on Smash? Could we be seeing an announcement specifically on the online structure, and they're maybe getting that done and dusted before they actually talk about it at E3. They've done these before too, where they've done like these mini directs right before E3 to cover some of these I'm going to say smaller kind of, you know, fringe topics. Could there be another system update beforehand? So what are the things? That's kind of my big hot topic or is Nintendo just going to do nothing? I don't know. It seems like the game release schedule begins to speed up starting in May, and then we're almost hitting a game every 2 weeks from Nintendo, or at least, you know, an update or DLC of some sort. So it sounds like they're beginning to find their footing a little bit more, as I think March and April was a bit quieter. But I don't know. Like, what do you guys – is Nintendo going to do anything as we prepare for E3? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think – you know, one of the things that's interesting for me about Smash is because we know there's a tournament at the – you know, it's an invitational tournament. It's not like – it's more of just like, hey, let's bring a bunch of popular Smash players together so they can play it in front of people. It's not like it's any sort of championship or anything. The fact that they're going to have a tournament to me tells me that like there is, I have a really hard time believing that that is the first time we'll ever see game footage. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, unless it's a port. If it's a port, then that's one thing. But we don't know if it's a port or not. And if it is a port, then we almost guaranteed need to see it beforehand. Otherwise, everybody's going to be disappointed. You know, you can't hold it off that long and then have it be, oh yeah, by the way, it's a port, right? Like nobody, that's not great. So I think that we can expect to see something. I don't know if they'll, you know, maybe what they'll do is they will have like some Nintendo Direct, but what they'll have is basically, they'll either start the Nintendo Direct or end it with a Smash trailer that actually includes in-game footage, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe it'll have maybe something like Ice Climbers, and I don't know, something like Balloon Fighter or something like that, right? Like the Balloon Fight Man, whatever his name is. Balloon Fighter, yeah. I think he's kind of the
Joust clone.
Yeah, so I think he's kind of a shoo-in. I think that he would be a good new pick because Iwata was such a big part of that game, and so sort of like a good tip of the hat sort of deal to him, you know, a tribute. I think Smash is there. I think that the I think that the managing expectations piece falls into the online stuff. I think people need to manage their expectations with hearing anything about that until after E3, because they will have enough time before Smash launches, unless the online system is like so integral to Smash that it is like a big selling feature of the game in general. So there's some sort of like novelty, revolutionary sort of approach to how they're doing online that they haven't hinted at yet, but I highly doubt that. And so I don't suspect to hear anything about online until after E3. So
I think that this is going to be a first look at Smash. I think that that's why it's an invitational. I'm glad you brought that up, that because they're inviting them in, and because there's not really this big prize that's other than I'm the best at new Smash, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Bragging
and so that's why I think it's completely not a port. I think, but here's what I think, that you're not going to see the full game. It's going to be like they're going to kind of give it with this caveat. It's a beta build, or it's,
I'd probably even call it an alpha build. but yeah,
you know, it's alpha, and you're going to have like 8 characters, maybe. How many people are coming in for the tournament? 16.
Yeah.
I think it
might be closer to 8. I'm not sure.
Okay, so if it's 8, then everybody plays a separate character, or maybe you know, you draw your character out of a hat or something. But this, like, how? I get the way I'm trying to describe it is how. What could be a better way for Nintendo to show off this, that they is going to really be the force to push online and all that with Smash, and how could they have a better way to show it off that way and also do the competitive scene than to let the first look that we get at being played competitively, right?
Mm.
And so you've got these guys who are Smash elites or whatever, and they're up there and they're getting to play it for the first time.
Yeah.
And you're seeing their reactions. And Nintendo is calculated, I think. As Nintendo is allowing the Smash community to see these respected people's buy-in and how much they're enjoying it as they're learning. Of course, they probably let them play it, you know, the night before or whatever to get familiar with it. I don't think it's going to be like The Wizard where the guy's like, it's a new game, you know, and he plays Super Mario Brothers 3 for the first time or whatever. But
or that's exactly what it's going to be.
I wouldn't mind that.
Like that, actually. That Metroid soccer ball game.
Blast ball. Yeah, yeah. When we didn't know it was Metroid.
Okay, so real quick.
They didn't officialize.
What I'm saying in saying this is that I think that we will see other things in a direct leading up to the E3. I don't think that we'll see Smash again until E3.
Mm. Hmm.
I think we might see another teaser. Like, you know, we get another mini direct or something, and it ends with another teaser like that another confirms another character.
And that's possible for sure.
Like, and it's going to be somebody super obvious. It's going to be Mario, you know, or it's going to be Breath of the Wild Link, who we've already seen.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. So yeah, you have like a Breath of the Wild Link, you have Ice Climbers, Breath of the Wild Link, and.
You really want those Ice Climbers, don't you?
Dude, the only reason they weren't in the last game was because of the 3DS game and they couldn't handle it.
Yeah, I know they're definitely coming back, but like the more that I've
heard. Oh yeah, I mained those guys in Brawl and were they in Melee? I don't think they were in Melee, were they?
No, it was Brawl.
Yeah, in Brawl I mained Ice Climbers, so that was like I was very
I would love to see them, and the balloon fight I think is a great idea. Like I was saying, as I verbally process this, what I would love Nintendo to do leading up to E3, which means they won't do it at all, is to like give us like maybe 3 or 4 mini directs, and each one of them ends with a Smash trailer.
Because what's interesting
each one
is
another piece of that.
We have a pretty small window because this game comes out this year, right? And so we actually have a really small window of like reveal times and compared to some of the other games that have been out.
And that's why I think that E3 is going to be a total like Smash info dump. That's why it's going to be the game that everything is built around for E3 with the whole, you know, decorating setup and everything they're going to do for their booth and all that. And it's going to be a huge part of their digital event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I sort of disagree with you on that, Marty. I do think we're going to get a first look. I think we're going beforehand? To get some kind of mini direct beforehand where they begin not like they need to start the hype train. It's already probably at like full capacity, but to begin to create more runway and more speed into it. Right. We're going to need a first look. Then they're going to say, you know, we're going to cover more of this content, tell you more at E3. Right. Like it's a connection. I don't think E3s are going to be our first time that we're going to see some gameplay or some footage. I think it's going to become a bit more firmed up, and I think we're going to see near the end of May or like 2 or 3 weeks before E3.
I think I'm leaning more toward what Marty's thinking. I think probably, you know, E3 is definitely going to be game heavy, and anything that's not game related, they're going to give us either completely wait on it or tell us in advance. So I think online infrastructure, they might give us a mini direct early June, late May to talk about it, because I'm sure that and Smash is going to be closely tied together. If there's going to be a major UX update, then they'll have a mini direct on that.
Yeah.
You know, if it's going to be released close to the time of E3, if it's not, they won't talk about it.
Here's what
I think E3 itself will be Smash heavy, and I don't think they're going to talk about Smash until E3.
Yeah, well, here's what I will say is that I think we will know before E3 if this is a new game or a port. Like, with I think that that is something let me rephrase that. If it is a port, we will know by E3. If it's a new game, they may hold on to that until E3. You know what I mean? Like, if it's good news, they can wait. If it's bad news, then they probably want to get ahead of that a little bit. So
remind me again, when was this direct? It was early March, right?
Beginning of March.
This begs the question of, they know that that's the main debate that's swirling besides character roster. Why not just go ahead and settle it? Why not just a statement, this game is not a port, or this game is a port?
Because the suspense makes things, like, it doesn't matter. Like, because ultimately, that answer is going to let air out of their sails either way. That there is so much unknown about this game, that's another piece that's there. And so the longer they hold on to it, the more mystique it has.
But the longer they hold on to it, does it have the potential of more damage? I think it's a very fine line to walk.
Yeah, I think
we gave that same argument about them not talking about the NX announcements until they did.
I think as long as they deliver on a good game, I don't think it does matter.
No, I'm kind of thinking it's kind of be similar to Splatoon. It's kind of
that's what I
rides that too. Rides that line. It, in a way, Splatoon 2 is a port of Splatoon with extra stuff. But they just called it a different game.
Yeah,
they just didn't call it Splatoon Deluxe like they did with Mario.
So I think it'll leverage similar graphics, similar textures, similar playability of the original for the classic characters, with doing more tweaks, doing some moveset adjustments, and of course roster updates. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be a little bit of both.
Yeah. So other than Smash Brothers, is there anything that you guys can think of? Like, I think Labo's obviously coming out next week. Do we see another set of Labo being announced? Is Labo going to be at E3?
I would actually think no. I would guess Labo Kids 3 and 4 would probably come out closer to holiday time. So we wouldn't start hearing about that until July, August.
I bet that we'll see something about Labo in the digital event.
Yeah.
Maybe just, we know you've been enjoying Labo.
Here's
a preview of what's to come.
And then they'll have like a glass case or like a display case in their booth that has some of the other stuff that's coming, but they won't dedicate a lot of space to that stuff that they've already shown, right? Yeah.
It's the pedal,
the camera,
it's the camera, the bird.
They have shown things that aren't in Kids 1 and 2.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're talking about.
That's what I mean. I think that holiday, Christmas, will be another sampler kit, like kit number one, and another big kit. And who knows, maybe that's the car.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder if as well, maybe, they probably won't do this, but it would be nice if they released what I would call almost expansion kits or something that are cheaper, because you don't have to put once you have either the kit one or two, you can go out and buy one of these expansion kits that has more cardboard builds, but they don't have to put the cartridge in, because you could just download, just be a free DLC download or something like that. I don't know if they'll do that, but that would be cool.
We just crossed into another dimension by talking about cardboard DLC.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Microtransaction Labo cardboard.
Yeah. Actually,
they're getting you with that, though, is the tape and the stickers.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the DLC.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, is that they could very easily release a little sticker or a little decal that you put on your Labo that has a little amiibo chip in it, and that unlocks something. Why they're not doing that is that's a free one, Nintendo. We know.
I'm going to go ahead and call this right now that the robot or the bugs thing that you know you can do that from the Toy-Con kit one, mm-hmm. you know, with, that you can move around. That's going to be an assist trophy in Smash.
Hey, that'd be cool. I like it.
You throw the thing, and, or you pick it up, and the bugs come out and
run across the screen. An item where you put the cardboard Labo robot costume on, and then you control Jaeger style, like Pacific Rim, some huge robot. That's what I want.
I'm all for that. And think about it. Like, I know some people have speculated that, you know, like Game & Watch has been in before, that Labo Man, like the little cardboard dude.
Yeah, dude.
Maybe one of the thing. And his final Smash could be the same thing that Snake's was a few years ago. You know, go up on the ladder.
Yeah.
You put the cardboard visor down, and all of a sudden you're punching as the robot, and like you're punching at
other people. I love it. Very cool.
See, that. Now we're getting into rampant speculation.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, Justin? Where are you at as far as E3 goes? Like any other?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I just definitely think that Nintendo is going to do some positioning. I think they're going to get some information about Smash out to us. I wouldn't be shocked if they give us a little bit of a reveal on the online content. I think they know that's something hanging out there that people are asking a lot about. I think they're going to try and get, you know, especially if that does play such a valuable role into Smash, they're going to reveal more information about that. So that when we come into Smash, that's what we can really focus in on. And they can kind of do that properly. So, you know, I think it's interesting to see what Nintendo's play is here in the next 2 months. And like I said before, Bill Trinan did mention that they're going to be announcing their plans a little bit later. I wouldn't be shocked if it's going to be full booth experience, right? And it is just Smash, just like they have in the last couple of years. But I think it's an exciting time. I think Nintendo is, I think starting in May, they're going to start their media hype train for this thing. And I think it's going to roll right through, into August.
Very cool. Right on. Any other thoughts before we move on to some more current events?
I think that, Nintendo is going to show off a new 2D game.
What do you mean by that?
I think we're going to get a new Mario game.
No,
I do. I think we're going to get a new Super Mario Brothers Switch.
Why would they not just release Mario Maker?
Because here's why I think that. Because Nintendo has invested a lot. I think Nintendo has invested a lot in that new Super Mario Brothers aesthetic, mm-hmm. right? Even in the last few years of updating basically all of the merchandise that is sold for Mario now is either very extremely retro 8-bit Mario 1 or Mario 3 or the new Super Mario Brothers 3D models, right? And
new being 14 years old now.
Right. Yeah. So they bring that on up to the Switch. And
a new Super Mario Brothers 3.
I would be okay with that, especially if it was, you know, that, I don't know.
They found something other than coins as the MacGuffin.
Yeah. So, and here's why I think that. What better way could they showcase the cooperative mode than, hey, you can take this and break off Joy-Cons and both of you can be Mario and Luigi. Mm-hmm. Or both of you can be Mario and one of the Toads. It's been so long since there's been a, besides Mario Maker, there's been so long since it's been a 2D Mario. I think it's coming.
Well, and it seems like a weird thing to not exist on the Switch yet. You know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, but only a year in. How long did it take it on the Wii?
Exactly. My point is just that, like, that is a staple for any Nintendo console, and it's not here yet. So,
yep.
Yeah, well, you launched with it, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
No.
No. You don't think so, Justin? No. Okay. What? Yep. That's right, everybody. That's what you wanted. That's what you came for. Anything else? Okay.
Next story.
Next up, why are reviewers... Okay, so apparently there's word that reviewers are not getting any copies of Nintendo Labo kits before release. There are some very What's the word I want to use? I don't want to use the word entitled, but maybe that's too strong.
Expectant.
Of a word. Expectant. Yeah. So there are some journalists out there who are upset about that. I'll be honest. I have gotten fairly large Nintendo packages at my house before, and it is an exciting day. But also, it's, you know, a gift, or not a gift. That's not right. If in journalism, that's not ethical, right? It's a review copy, but it's interesting to me that they're not sending these out. And we thought it'd be interesting to talk a little bit about what we think that is, what's going on about that. It does seem weird. Like, they've had a ton of these events, you know, where people have been able to go out and try Labo and get their grubbies on it and, you know, build some stuff. And, I don't know. I like, Justin, what do you think? Like, why not send them out?
You know, I don't really have a good reasoning for it. To be completely honest, it may, I actually don't know.
I have kind of a theory-ish thing. You know, when you go to like an E3 or a PAX or something where there is a booth to play a game, it's never just you playing the game and you are enjoying yourself. You always got this talker in your ear, either trying to help you, give you hints, or just talking in general about the game. And you're like, just leave me alone, I'm going to play this. I think with Labo, they're being extra careful with and hand-holdy about the message they're getting across. And even though when you get home, there isn't going to be anyone talking in your ear, it's just you and maybe a kid with a box of cardboard and doing what you do with it. But if they send out a review kit, they'd have the same experience, but that might be different than what the message they want to get across for some reason. I don't know what message that would be, but it seems like they're just kind of being handholdy with their message on this one.
You know, just when I was thinking about that, we did send Gary Gray over to the event a couple months ago, and you know, we're going to be very honest with you. We received a fairly large embargo document that was very clear in things that we could show and that we couldn't show. And I won't go into details what was there. And I just think that they're, you know, maybe trying to preserve the experience as much as possible. You know, I think that may be one of the things. But I don't know. It doesn't really overly bother me that much.
My idea, I think, is in a completely different direction from that. And I think it's because the way that you experience Labo, or the way that Nintendo wants you to experience Labo, is not sitting in an office with 30 or 20 or 30 somethings putting this together by yourself and running a review on it.
Yeah.
It's, they want you to experience with kids.
Yeah. That's probably right?
They want you to experience it as a family, because it's not like anything else, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not like just a game. And they don't want you what they don't want you doing is sitting down as a reviewer and going, I don't get it, because I really think that if I'm sitting here in my office and I get Labo and I'm putting it together and I'm not experiencing that with my son or my daughter and hearing them get excited about talking about how they're going to decorate it or how this part moves or how the magic of it kind of gets pulled back. Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like, and the target audience for people to review, it would be people who are passionate about Nintendo and have children. Perhaps if they were dads,
I know that'd be like
people who are ideal candidates for this.
In my mind, there's these words like Nintendo dads.
Yeah, you know what? Those would be for sure. I don't know. You know what? I think that I would just call them Nintendo dads. You know, I mean, it makes
sense. It's not smart SEO.
Yeah, that's true.
Not search engine optimized.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
Nintendo dads.
Yeah,
exactly. And moms. Nintendo moms.
Nintendo dads plus moms.
We're going to take a quick pause in this right here. Just as an FYI, people who'd listen to this show, the amount of times that we get told you should have went with Nintendo dads, like, is usually, it's cute, because you'll have someone who's like now discovered your show after being here for 175 episodes, and they're like, great show, fantastic people, but I think they should have been called Nintendo dads. No, we fully recognize what you think we should have been called. I'll tell you that we deliberately chose not to be called Nintendo Dads for two reasons. One, Nintendo Dads has really good search engine optimization, and I know that's very businessy. But number two, Nintendads was taken by someone else.
And also because, and we really wanted to have somebody else's trademark in our name so that we couldn't trademark our own, and that there was no question about that, you know, that was important too. So, yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I don't know. So I don't know. I think Marty, you're probably the closest on that as well. I think the other possibility is also that, they, you know, Europe is already getting this a week after we are. They're not,
we are. Yeah.
Right. And I wonder if they literally are just like, if they are printing these things out right until the very last second. And this is not that they, you know, I wonder if they're just like, nope, you got to send every last one to a store. We'll see how that pans out next Friday.
But, I'd heard some early numbers on Labo.
Not good.
And, your theory may be pretty close.
Well, and here's the other thing I want to just kind of lean into that very quickly here is Nintendo has been doing a lot of events for people to attend this thing. So this is not the press's like first times with Labo. You know, for transparency's sake, not only did we send Gary, but I was supposed to be over in London this week with a hands-on experience with it as well. Unfortunately, I couldn't go. But like they have done their due diligence with the press. Do you know what I mean? Like no one should be like, I've never touched, you know, again, I'm going to go back to NVC. Philip Musin, when he was on our show, he went and played with Labo. They had another Labo event back out in San Francisco that Pear went to, right? So we like media has had their hands on it, right? So I think going back to Marty, it's all about that experience.
And here's the thing though, Justin, that I think is the biggest possible, I think this is one of the worries about Labo for a lot of people, is the concern that you build this thing once and then it just sits there and does nothing. You know what I mean? And I think that you do not have that experience by having the in-person event, right? You go, you have the wonderful excitement of building this and it's awesome. And you build this little fishing rod thing and then you leave it there. And it doesn't sit in your office or in, you know, your living room or whatever. And by not, like, there is no opportunity before launch day for that scenario to happen right now. And I think that, there is no that scenario of your kid coming in and breaking your, you know, $80 or whatever the robot suit is, right? Like that scenario cannot happen, even if you do get a review system from the press. You know, like that isn't going to happen either. And so I think that is another, I don't know if that's a deliberate decision and that's the kind of bad press that they're trying to avoid, but newsflash, everybody, it's cardboard. That's going to happen. So, you know, anyway, and the longevity of the games, I guess, is what kind of what I'm saying.
So to summarize for our fans, FYI, next week when Nintendo Labo launches, that's when you'll be hearing our press releases and hands-on experiences with it. Yep. Watch for our video series on YouTube. What's our next topic, guys?
Here's my question, though, before we move on.
And I have a comment.
Do you guys think that the Labo software is going to be available in the eShop?
No.
I doubt it.
I think it'll be card only.
I don't, which that sucks. Honestly, I would way rather have it just downloaded because I hate cartridges in general. So anyway, go ahead.
So I have a quick story I want to talk about because it's related to Labo. So last week I said I went to the mall with my kids. She was prom dress shopping. And so,
oh good, we get an update. Go ahead.
So while they're doing that, I'm literally just walking the mall, doing my own thing. I stop at a GameStop and there's two ladies there working. So I asked them about what are people's interest in Labo?
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to know what, you know, because we only hear the media side. We don't hear what the regular person is thinking about it. And they said chatter is pretty high and a lot of people are looking forward to it. So.
Huh. Really?
Good to see how it actually turns out next week when it releases.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know.
Which kind of surprised me. I kind of expected it to be more of a meh, but
yeah.
We'll find out.
Did you get the sense that they were being truthful or that they were trying to get you to place a pre-order?
No, I think they were truthful. I told them that my kids were already out of the demographic and I wasn't interested, but they sounded like they were interested themselves.
Cool.
And we chatted about other things before I left the store, but that was kind of like the main thing I wanted to bring Very up cool. was about with them was asking about what they thought about Labo.
Very cool. Right on. Well, next up, next story here. Hey guys, guess what? Nintendo announced their new console. It is a thing. It is confirmed.
It's the Nintendo 4DS Galaxy Style XL
VR
Joy-Con
with Smello Gaming.
Purple edition.
Dude, Smello Gaming is like. Anytime that I have just
the smell of Detective Pikachu early in the morning.
When did they start designing this thing? March 4th last year.
Seriously. Well, and here's the thing, guys. So, like, do we have the quote? I thought I had a tab open, but then I had it all. Here we go. Here's the quote. I'm vamping. This is good radio. Shinya Takahashi, who attended the BAFTA Awards. This is according to MyNintendoNews.com that I'm reading it from. He attended the BAFTA Awards to represent the company there. At one point, he gave a brief interview with BBC, and he answered a few questions. The last question he got was whether he thought that the success of the Switch has come as a surprise. His response was that, quote, Nintendo constantly works on hardware, so we have been doing research and development. You may see the new system sometime in the future, end Which quote.
Which doesn't answer the question at Which, all.
Which, in other words, is I don't even know why. Like, I saw the internet exploded as though this was a huge news story and that Nintendo has now confirmed their next console. And that is not, I mean, hey Justin, you want to know something cool? Nintendo has a research and development division.
No.
I know, right? Right?
That seems too crazy.
I know. So that is that's exciting. And that's all that is, everybody. So let's
Sorry, Zach, can we talk about this research and development department a bit?
Yeah, so what they do.
What do they do?
Okay, exactly? So the first thing their first responsibility is to research things. Okay. Right? Yes. So
what would they be researching?
So Zach? Like the well, I mean, it's when you search for something once and then you do it again. Right. Okay. So,
right. So twice search.
Yeah,
two search
exactly. Change. Yeah. So that's the first part.
So that's like using Bing after using Google.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You got to just do your due diligence.
Or ask Jeeves, whichever one you want.
And then the second half is the development piece. And so after you have searched multiple times, you've checked your work, then you go and you make something based on that quest that you have finished. Okay.
I feel like I'm following you so hard, but can I just ask a couple more clarifying questions?
Yeah, of course.
Do we have examples of how this has been used in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, this is maybe a good example is that back in, this was a long time ago, but, in the caveman days, they were having a hard time transporting large objects from one place to another, and they found that if they created this thing, because basically what happens, there's too much friction trying to push like a big stone across the field, and so if they made it round, then it less of that object was actually on the ground, and so it would roll, and that is what that was basically what ended up being the research and development of the wheel.
Okay, I guess I apologize. Right? Do we have any evidence of the research and development working for Nintendo?
Oh, see, you got to be more specific, man. Okay.
You do got to be more specific.
So basically research and development. So they had the idea for, they wanted to create a...
The Switch. Let's go with that.
Let's go with the Switch. Yeah. So the research and development would have been, researching all of the... First off, research and development would include any sort of brainstorming for the kind of console or handheld that they would want to be doing, right?
Like like a peripheral for the Super Nintendo, working together with a company that has nothing to do with video games like Sony.
Yeah. So, like, exactly.
I feel like you just derailed our entire bit.
So basically, like, yeah. So what research and development is that, you would conceptualize what the platform is going to be. You would build prototypes based on that concept. You would say, hey, this is cool. This works. This sucks. Let's find a new technology to you know, this wireless protocol is buggy, or it drains too much battery, or whatever, right? Like, they're basically just making whatever the next thing is, and that can take so much time. Like, when the Switch came out, didn't they say that there was actually, they had been working on this concept basically since the GameCube or something, right? Like
yeah, I think so.
Like, they've been wanting to do this.
So you're saying a handheld system that uses six D-sized batteries is bad?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know,
so,
for the time.
I guess the thing, so I mean, here's the deal, right? So obviously all of a sudden people are start freaking out. Nintendo's new console. Okay, let's take a moment here. Breathe, folks. Of course Nintendo's thinking what their next new console is. Of course they are. Like, let's now, there's a couple of things that this can be. This can be Nintendo's next new console, whatever that's going to be. So, I don't know, Switch U. Or the other rumor is, you know, could it be another version of a handheld? Right, so could we see the Switch Mini? And then the other question is, could it be potentially the Switch Pro? Right, so and here's the thing, I would, and if people are like, oh my gosh, well, Nintendo's only been a year into the cycle, Nintendo has a history of reiterating and improving on their handheld console specifically. So if you look at the original 3DS, that was kind of a bit of a brick in times, it was a lot smaller. Then we had the new 3DS XL. Then we have the new 2DS, right? So this is common for them to make the changes.
Even the original DS to DS Lite is probably a faster and more
abrupt the DS change. Lite, the DS Lite is still one of my favorite of all.
So, Justin, don't listen. Earlier you mentioned the Switch. Don't you bring that juju in here? don't you bring those foul spirits in here?
Right.
I rebuke you in the name of the Switch.
So
that the U be forever banished.
Fair enough. So I mean, there can definitely be that. This could be the next iteration, right? Where, I mean, not only is there opportunities for a better processor, potentially better battery life, you know, a stronger kickstand. Like, there's a whole bunch of things that could be happening here. So guys, don't be overly shocked that Nintendo has began development of a new console. I don't know. What do you guys think this is?
I don't want
to spend a whole lot of time.
They haven't said anything. Again, they have said so little that this literally encompasses any future product that comes out in the future period is a confirmation of this statement. Like, that's like I don't even know. Like, I don't even like the concept of even a Switch Pro. I don't like the concept of any change to this platform in the next year at least, because I feel like I need to get my money's worth out of my existing Switch before they ask me to upgrade. And then again, like we said in the pre-show, maybe it's Joy-Cons. Maybe it's new Joy-Cons, because I have one that needs to be replaced too. And so,
as do I.
And so maybe they're Joy-Con Pro. If that's the case, and they did like Elite, you know, so like the Xbox Elite controller or whatever, that's made out of like freaking carbon fiber and space aluminum. Like, with that's
$170 controller.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if they did those, that they are freaking bulletproof, then let's do those. That is what
honestly, it could just be a form factor revision. It could be, you know, a bezel-less screen. It could be, you know, a
stronger kickstand.
Let's not get crazy here.
It could be
new Joy-Con, you know, with GameCube like shoulder buttons.
Mini,
Zach in the chat room is. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, like, it could be like the rumored mini, like, you know, non-detachable Joy-Cons. It's just for portable only.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Like, Zach in the chat room is saying it's the N64 Classic. So there you go.
And it could be.
Yeah, it's possible.
Fair play to him.
Or the Game Boy Classic. That's actually what I want.
That'd be great.
All right. Any other thoughts on this, gentleman, before we jump into a couple of quick headlines?
Nope, do it.
All right. So Yo-Kai Watch 4 has been announced for the Switch. That's a thing. Woo! Is there actually, I didn't look this up beforehand. Is there any sort of screenshots or anything?
The only thing that was announced with this is that Level 5 has said that Yo-Kai Watch 4 will be out in Japan this year. for the Nintendo Switch, which puts it ahead of Pokemon, which is to me is a huge thing. Just kind of, I think it kind of shows you the popularity that Yo-Kai Watch has over there. But it said that you will play the game in new and surprising ways.
Mm.
And so if you've ever played a Yo-Kai Watch game, you know that the Yo-Kai kind of they'll respond to some commands when their spirit level is up high enough and you can cause them to do like their what might be a final attack, you know, or special attack or whatever. But they exist on Nate's watch.
Yeah.
And so the mechanic is you're turning this dial on the bottom screen of the DS to select which yokai are up front, right? Mm-hmm. And which ones are attacking. And then you can pull them back to heal them or cure a status ailment or something like that, which usually involves you tapping the screen, like tapping bubbles or finding a way to crack through this glass that's been put over your watch or anything like that. So I'm going to guess touchscreen compatible.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Probably the first Nintendo first party style game that pushes that touchscreen compatibility
mm-hmm.
for the Switch. And that, you know, of course, dual screen is going to be a loss. So I don't know how they're going to do that. Maybe it's, you know, Jesse keeps showing us videos of games in Tate mode. Maybe it's the first Switch game that's played completely in Tate mode,
which would mean they'd have to have a grip,
which would mean they would have to have a grip. Or maybe it's the first game. You know, we saw concept images early on when we had first seen the Joy-Cons and things of like GameCube Joy-Cons and fishing Joy-Cons. And one of the concepts that I saw was a Yo-Kai Watch Joy-Con that allowed you to like actually turn the watch. This would be a great time to start updating or start. You get the game and the Joy-Con for $70.
Mm-hmm. This is the kind of thing that they you know, like it's a big enough thing over there that they probably could do it too. So
oh yeah.
Very cool.
You reminded me earlier, Justin did. One of you remind me, we've still got to get three. You know, we've had Yo-Kai Watch 1, we've had Yo-Kai Watch 2. 3 is in the storyline. It was you, Zach, that were saying that's where they come to America.
Yeah.
And if we skip that one, I'm going to be so upset because that's like all the food Yo-Kai. It was like weird hamburgers and eggs and bacon and
mm-hmm.
because, you know, America.
America. America. Make America
great like, again.
Make America. There's no screenshots released, but this article from Silicon or from Famitsu does have what is it? The Slimer and Nan Cat playing Switch together. So that's cool. What are these guys? I don't remember.
That's what it is. Whisper and Jibanyan.
There you go. That's the one. Yeah. So Slimer and Hello Kitty. Perfect. All right. The other quick headline is Mega Man X Legacy Collection 1 and 2 releasing on July 24th in the U.S. 1 through 4 are on the card, and 5 through 8 are downloadable only.
Just like the Mega Man Collection.
Is that confirmed now?
Yes.
Mother.
Via the GameStop website.
Wait, so is this one card? So Legacy Collection 1 and 2, is that two different SKUs or is that one SKU?
It's one
box,
SKU.
Yeah, the box will be.
Why don't they just call it Mega Man X Legacy Collection then? Like, why?
Well, because on eShop they'll have two different SKUs.
Oh, okay.
And I made the same argument when we talked about this with Mega Man. You know, they have a build that they put digitally and on cart, and if that's the same when they do updates, they only have to have one update.
So
if
Mega
they
Man,
have a cart with all 8 games. But not a digital SKU with all 8 games that has 2 different builds and update require 2 separate updates.
Right.
Just more effort later.
Right. So Mega Man X Legacy Collection 1 has 1 through 4, and that's on the card. And then Mega Man X Legacy Collection 2 has 5 through 8, and it's a download. Correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right. So on eShop, you can buy one or the other or both. I think probably at $20 each for $40 total.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you buy it physical, it'll be $40. And you'll get everything, but one cart and then one's a download.
This is nowhere near as big of a deal, though, by the way, than like Bayonetta. You know, like there is no way that Mega Man X Legacy Collection is going to be more than, what, 2 gigs maybe? You know?
Yeah, so, I don't understand why they're splitting it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
also I don't understand why the Mega Man Legacy Collection, you know, you're getting early, you know, if you get the physical version, you're getting like a you get the downloads for the second part of the collection. Of course, you get the first part on the cart, and I think you get like a Mega Man cleaning cloth or something like that with it. Ooh. There are absolutely zero bonuses with this version.
Fancy pants.
For X.
Because you have to clean your Mega Mans.
Mm, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's important. Yep.
Though this is the first time, and here's why I think they're doing this. It makes a little bit more sense with the Mega Man X Legacy, because this is the first time they're putting the games together in a package like this. You know, previously there was a Mega Man X collection for the GameCube, mm-hmm. but there were other PlayStation games that came out after that, I think, that weren't on that collection.
Yeah, I think it only went up to 5.
Yeah, so there's a new mode in this one as well, which is called X Challenge Mode, which lets you fight 2 bosses at once. And there's like, you know, the art galleries, merchandise gallery. They have a playlist of nostalgic commercials, and also it has the animated prequel film that was only released on the Maverick Hunters version of Mega Man X. That I think was PSP only.
Hmm.
So, and I'm not sure on that. I think it was PSP only, but it's fully translated. I think how Sigma went rogue, how he went Maverick.
Hmm.
So I think that's pretty cool. You know, I'm not a huge X fan. Mega Man's more my favorite, but you know, you are getting a few extras. They're just not physical extras with this one, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Right on. Well, hey, with that, gentlemen, we've got to get into what we've been playing, so let's do it.
Yep.
Do it.
Oh, wait a minute. Hang on.
Do it. Do it.
Wait. There we go. All right. And what we've been playing... there's a few. I've been playing a game and I don't have a lot to say about it. Jesse, are you playing this game too? Masters of Anima?
I started.
As I told my kids today, it is Masters of Anima. that actually is not reflective of the quality of the game. So you've been playing.
I only got into like the end of the first chapter.
Okay.
Because I actually did it twice because I tried doing a video of the first 20-ish to 30-ish minutes of the game. And, you know, old headsets that I'm using my other computer to, because that's where the streaming hardware is. And old headsets that I had with the boom mic, if I bring the boom mic up, it mutes it.
Hmm.
This one doesn't.
Weird.
So the audio for the entire video was echoed because it was getting the audio from the raw feed and getting audio from the microphone from the TV.
Oh, that's good.
So the whole thing was ruined.
That's good.
So
you ruined it.
So the next day I replayed that same first chapter just without talking. And
yeah.
had the microphone muted, and that's the video that got up on YouTube.
How much does this game cost, by the way? Does anybody know? I'm not too
sure.
20
US, 26.
Game. Okay. So I think I'm not sure how long this game is yet, but one thing that I will say about it, it's on the eShop. It is, I want to say, it reminds me of, like, if you were to take a cross between, like, a Diablo-style dungeon crawler sort of thing and mix it with Pikmin.
That's exactly how I compared it.
Yeah, like, it's basically, like, you control your character like you would in Diablo, or, you know, sort of like a button, like a console version of that. But then you have all of these Pikmin that you have to do as well. I'm really missing any sort of, like, pointer controls with this, because controlling your troops is a little difficult. I don't know if you've gotten to the point where you get like your, I've gotten to the point where you get a second unit type.
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah. So so basically how it works is you have, and the production quality and sort of, you know, there's a lot of like really good voiceover, and I like the art style. It's nice and, It's bright and, you know, some really good color popping and things like that. Some of the voiceover is okay. Like, the characters are pretty flat and one-dimensional, and they're just there to, you know, push you along in the story. But basically, it is a little bit more tactical, I want to say. Like, it's a little more combat-focused than Pikmin is. Like, it's not like you're carrying things back. You are progressing through a stage instead of, like, exploring and those kinds of things, and you're not like carrying items back to your base or anything. It's more of like you have your troops that follow you, basically. So the first kind of troop that you get is what do they call them? Protectors, and they're like the little dudes with the swords and shields.
Guardians, I think.
Yeah, something like that. And they're basically like your little melee units. And then the second one that I got, at least, were archers. And they have lower health but higher attack, and they're ranged. And they like encourage you to hide your units in the grass to get more of a defense bonus and all of that kind of stuff. Or an evasion bonus, maybe. But yeah, it's I enjoy it. It's fun. I feel like I almost instantly, though, it got to this point where it wanted me to multitask several different things, and I went from being like, oh man, this game is so easy, this is great, this is fun, you know, whatever, and then all of a sudden I was like, boom, I suck at this game. And I think
that's what I'm worried about.
Part of it is like when it's trying to get you to manage multiple groups of troops using, yeah, like, this is a game that really wants to be a point and click sort of StarCraft style troop management game, but you're trying to do that with joysticks, right? With the actual control sticks, which is just like, oh gosh, I don't know how to do this very well. And it's okay, and maybe I'll get better at it, but it's it got really hard really fast, which is maybe that's me, but maybe it's not. And I don't really know, you know, so that's kind of been my experience so far. I am going to give more time to it because it is fun and it's got some good RPG elements. You can increase, you know, you can kind of invest your points into the different kinds of troops or into your actual character himself. And it's got just a lot of cool, like, the story, the background story is cool. It is interesting enough to kind of set it apart, and I enjoy it. But yeah, anyway, well, I don't know, Marty, would you add anything to that?
I actually haven't played it.
Oh, sorry. I meant Jesse.
Yeah, you said you didn't know how long it was. I don't know either. My guess is it's probably 10 chapters long. Yeah. Because, you know, there's three types of collectibles. There's part of a stone tablet you collect, which there was one piece in the first chapter. So I imagine there's one piece for in every chapter.
Yeah.
And then there's one type of collectible that you collect four of, and it increases your mana pool, or your anima pool, you could say. And then there's a third type of collectible is if you collect three of those, you increase your maximum health.
Mm-hmm.
So like in that first chapter, there was one piece of tablet, one piece of health, and then four pieces of anima. So I was able to max that to get the seventh ring.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah, it's cool. Which, Justin, are there birds out your window right now?
Yeah, there are.
They're totally, I can totally hear them. They're the people, at least on the podcast at home, are going to be able to hear them. That's amazing. Ireland, the land of enchantment. It is
nearly 6 a.m.
The land of enchantment over there in Ireland. That's
great. I do plan on continuing through, at least until I get to the part where, you know, it wants me to multitask so much. I'm like, nope, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I'll keep trying.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it. So so that's Masters of Anima. It's pretty fun. That is all I've really been playing, that and Life, the game. Not that Life game. Anyway.
Not the game of life?
Not the game of life, but Life the game. It's different.
You didn't want to try to spin a 10?
No. So yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Justin, what have you been playing, dude?
I have been playing for the last couple of weeks a game called The Adventure Pals. And this came out, when was this came out? This came out on April 3rd. It actually just released here in the UK yesterday, actually. And this is absolutely fantastic game. This is a ton of fun. So again, this is called The Adventure Pals. It's done by Massive Monsters. And it's qualified as a platformer game, adventure, puzzle, action. But it is a quirky art style, very cartoon drawing-esque, and you have a best friend who is a giraffe named Sparkles, and a pet rock. And what has happened is that your grandfather has been changed into a hot dog, and you need to go fix that problem. And it is some of the most fantastic, fun 2D platformer that I have played in a while.
Because I think if your pet was a dog, there might be some copyright issues.
Probably. But it was, there's RPG elements in it where you actually like level up. You have an energy kind of bar that fills up. And when it fills up, you're all of a sudden given these like three options. Like, what's the thing you want to improve on? Do you want to have, does your pet rock want to be a stronger pet rock? Do you want to use your giraffe as a grappling hook? Do you want to, if you die, you get your loot back quicker? And it is really sharp, witty writing. It's fantastic, fun gameplay. Each level takes about in each level, there's an exploration piece of it where not only is it just 2D platforming, but you can also like find these cupcakes. These are kind of like your achievement points. And you have the ability to sell them later and earn more funds. And it's lots of level unlocking and that kind of part of it. They throw like kind of a little bit of shade or in about, there's some lines in there about The Legend of Zelda, Super Mario Brothers, just really like well written game. It's also two player. So that is really cool. So you can actually bust off the Joy-Con, put in tabletop mode, and two people on the can co-op work together on the same level, which is absolutely awesome as well. It's just awesome. Like, I cannot highly recommend it enough. It is called The Adventure Pals. And actually, Marty, as I was playing, it was about the time that it was your son's birthday. And I thought, like, this is a game that you need to check out for him. Because I think, not only just for him, but he's probably of that, like, right age, kind of like 11-year-old, right? He's 11 now or 10?
Right. He just turned 11.
11, right? The kind of the humor is right there. The kind of neat art style is kind of there. It's just fantastic. I mean, you're literally being attacked by hot dogs at a couple points that you have to try and beat up. It's just fantastic. I can't, like, it's probably not doing it enough justice. I did a 20-minute playthrough of it on our YouTube channel. You should check that out as well. But it is really, really awesome.
You've pretty much sold me on it right now.
It's $14.99 on the eShop. Like, this is definitely a do it. Like, this is such a – I didn't know this game was coming out this month. And, I typically do games you need to look out for in this month. Had I known that, I would have recommended this game. I'm recommending it now. Go do this. This is great fun for you and your family. Absolutely. The Adventure Pals. And again, this was by Massive Monster. And big thanks to the development team and the PR team that actually sent us a review copy a couple days early. So that's fantastic. And like, I mean, even in the write-up, it says three words, giraffe, helicopter, tongue. Like, it's ridiculously fun.
That sounds awesome, dude.
You need to pick it up.
I'm looking. Definitely. Very cool, dude. Anything else? Like, is that pretty much it?
I think that's all. Yeah, that's all we need to be talking
that's
about.
That's all you're good. On. Marty, what about you, dude?
I actually have not had any time this week to play any games.
That's okay.
So it's been a long week. I did put up a video review earlier this week about a game that I talked a little bit last week on the show, Devious Dungeon. And that has some people have been really appreciative of that video. It's made by Radalika Games, who've done League of Evil and several other games. And it's basically, medieval League of Evil, where you're it's not roguelike in that the levels are different every time. They are different every time you play, but there is a progression through the levels that where you can warp to where you died or close to where you died with upgrades that you're able to get by making runs through this dungeon. So, so there's a definite progression. I think there's ends up being like 68 levels, and it's a ton of fun. I'm about halfway through, and man, has the difficulty spiked. It's gotten really hard. It's gotten really difficult. And I can see more and more how I'm going to depend on dying and getting achievements, you know, that you do get money for achievements when you die, but like just making a run, maybe starting back at level one and running all the way through to where I am now so that I can get money for more upgrades and more expensive weapons and things in the future. So I can keep pressing forward.
Very cool.
But it's a lot of fun, and it's not, I think that it was on sale. It's no longer anymore. It was on sale for like $6.49 USD. Mm. But I think it's back up to $9.99 now. But I still recommend it. I think it's a fantastic game. It's a great, like, you could drop in and drop out of it pretty quick.
Mm. Very cool. Right on, man. Cool. Jesse, have you been playing anything else?
No, that's all I've really been playing.
No.
All right, on to the postman, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
I guess so. Hey, I guess that's...
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
That's good. No, that's fine. I'm just literally... This new soundboard thing is slow. Here we go. Right on. And of course, the listener mails postman segment brought to you by oneunbox.com, where you can use the code NintendoDads and get $3 off your first box full of geeky, nerdy goodness. Thank you, everybody, for using that code. That also supports the show. And yeah, so we've got two emails. We got two.
Just like two.
Look at that. I can count. That's good. Justin, you want to read the first email for us?
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. It starts off. I don't know who the author is. Do we have the, there's no signature on this one.
Mm.
Okay. Maybe you can pull that up.
Let me go back into our email and pull that
okay.
up.
Okay. I'll read it while you're doing that. Okay, guys, I love the show. I had the original NES when I was a kid playing Kid Icarus, Bionic Commando, the original Flint Hook, Mega Man, and I have had three boys in every major gaming platform since. I wasn't always an avid gamer over that time, well, because life happens, but I always played the games with the boys, whatever they were into, Halo, Call of Duty, every single one of them, Witcher, Last of Us, etc. But now the kids are all grown. My youngest is now 18, so the Switch is now my platform. We have all of our own Switches, four. But I now purchase more games on the Switch in 1 year than in the year previously on any platform. I love the take it with you factor. Plus, now I have fun with my 4 and 8 year old nephews playing the greatness of Kirby and Mario Kart. And now for the real reason to this email. I totally relate to Zach on episode 174. I too vomit a little when I hear the word hear 2D and retro again. Don't get me wrong, Marty can drop game knowledge bombs all day, but he loves roguelike 2D platforms. Ugh. I'm with Zach on this one. So here's my challenge for the four of you. Try to do a segment where you discuss the current and future 3D open world games that you love or look forward to this year, like Dragon Quest, almost this year. No one is allowed to use the word 2D retro pixel side scroller classic and nostalgia. Not comprehensive, LOL. Love the show. Love the mature discussion. Keep up the great work. Even you, Marty.
Shots fired. Hey,
Zach has found a friend.
See, that's kind
it's
of
been so with... long. I've waited for this day.
That's kind of the problem that we have since we've been playing so long. We have lots of nostalgia and mm-hmm. retro knowledge.
So it is hard to separate.
That would be difficult to do.
It is hard to separate nostalgia from what
I'm sure
you
even
play.
If Dragon Quest XI is like any other Dragon Quest, that they will incorporate elements, especially audio triggers, from the original game.
Right.
They still do that. They did it in Builders.
And I wanted to throw this in here. Edward Parker is the name of the guy who wrote this email.
Thank you.
There you go.
And Edward, even though you know, don't want to hear me talk about anything anymore, it's cool. No, I'm just kidding. I've really gotten into Dragon Quest Builders on the Switch, and it is very open world and 3D. And that is a game that I actually like to watch my son play it and help him with it. But Zach is correct in saying there's a bit of a crisis when it comes to that type of game, right? We are seeing more of retro 2D than we are seeing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I'm still working my way through Zelda. I'm still working my way through the DLC. And I guess, like, the hook for me a lot of times is that an open world 3D game, sometimes I'm sitting down and I'm playing those type of games, and I may not have time to invest like I want to in that world. So I default to, you know, something that's retro 2D.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why I do talk about it a little bit more, because, like, I love Breath of the Wild. I've loved Dragon Quest Builders, but there's some stuff that, you know, it's a 30-minute quest. It's a 45-minute quest, and I don't have that time. Like this week, I've had no time to put into gaming, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I think for me, when I think of, like, 3D open world, I think, Marty, you and I are probably the biggest 2D platformer fans of the four of us, I think. We kind of yeah. speak the same language in a lot of ways, right? I just ranted about, obviously, the Adventure Pals, which is a 2D platformer. I think the problem I have with sometimes with the 3D ones, and I do, I'm not using the word nostalgia, a fondness in the past for 3D.
All right, Mr. Thesaurus.
Exactly right. 3D open worlds, you know, Banjo-Kazooie is a great example of that. Mario 64 is a great example of that. I do find sometimes Breath of Wild is a great example. Breath of Wild is a fantastic open 3D world game. But then if I go play another open 3D world game and it's not at the same level as that, then I feel like they're missing something. I feel like they're not playing within the barriers or the box that they could potentially do. Whereas they think the restrictions that are set on something like a 2D platformer is very set as it is. So it's not as difficult there from a design perspective, right? I know what to expect, where with a 3D world, because it's so open, sometimes my expectations are much higher, both from the design perspective, the quality perspective. Now, that being said, I mean, I think, you know, Mulaka was a great example, actually, of a 3D open world adventure game not too long ago that we played that I thought actually did a very good job of that. I think sometimes with the reason that we also see this high level of 2D platformers, I think, you know, and I could be completely wrong and someone can correct me on this one, I think they're a little bit easier to develop, right? Not only are they easier to develop.
Oh, totally.
They're quicker to develop. And I think because, going to your point earlier, the nostalgia, I am going to use that word, is that people like you had grown up with Bionic Commando and, you know, Kid Icarus and Mega Man and great connection that, you know, very much the very first Flint Hook, if you would. So I think it's very easy tie-in to understand your demographics and your knowledge or your basis and to be able to pull people in.
What I hear you saying is it's a very safe choice for an indie developer.
I think it is a safe choice, right? And I think you see different studios take different risks. I think bigger studios can take bigger risks. But if you're kind of an indie studio trying to get your you know, foot in the door and get off to it, low risk, high reward, right? So the reward piece, or the high reward piece being nostalgia, is the model you want, with the risk being lower for development.
Yeah,
right.
A lot of those 2D platformers, the hardest part of that is just building the engine and the rules of its universe. Think Mario Maker.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the hard part of the game. The easier, quote unquote, easier part of the game is the level design, that is just make the level and the engine do what it wants to do with it.
I think that, you know, there are definitely 3D open world games out there that catch my attention, and I'll be honest, Yooka-Laylee is a great example of that. It's caught my attention and I want to pick that up. I'm thinking about it, but the price tag that they're offering, I feel, is a bit too high for that. I'm gonna be just honest, from a Canadian perspective, that feels a bit high. But it's definitely on my radar. But I also have expectations. So when I play a 3D open world platformer, my expectations are maybe a little bit different than what it would be for 2D. And I don't know if anyone else experiences that.
Well, I think too, what similar to you, I think what I would say about that is that is that you can, it is fairly easy to execute I've never done it before, but at least it seems like in comparison between a 2D game and a 3D game, it is much easier to execute on a competent functional 2D platformer versus if you make a 3D platformer, the number of things that can go wrong and the number of bugs that can happen and like, you know, you can fall through the ground or, you know what I mean? Like, it becomes infinitely.
Look at any Bethesda game.
Exactly, right? And like, it just becomes infinitely more complicated and it's harder to execute. And so to be able to go beyond, you know, to make something, to make an exceptional 2D platformer is way easier than making an exceptional 3D platformer. And I think that's totally, I think that's a totally fair point. Kind of what you're saying though, right?
Yeah, and I mean, even as I'm sitting here kind of thinking about it, the latest Nindy showcase, I want to think 75% of those games were 2D platformers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? I'm just thinking of the ones that caught my attention. I was like, oh, the Ninja Master of the Ninja Remastered.
The Messenger.
The Messenger, yeah. I was like, so many of these are 2D platformers, right? And I think the only one that was a 3D.
Lightfall was a 2D platformer.
Yeah. What was that one that was like a 3D strategy? Up north, something? Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, it was like, but it's a roguelike.
Yeah, right. So.
The one about the Vikings.
There was one that was, it was like a 3D puzzle platformer thing. It was like Pood or something. What? How do you say?
Yeah.
Pooda. Yeah, there you go. That's what that is. So yeah. Anyways, I am looking forward to Metroid Prime 4. I think that is one that is, you know, more in that 3D realm. It's definitely not indie, but I'm looking forward to that. I think there's some good, what I don't know what you would call it, like an isometric dungeon crawler type, you know, like a Legend of Zelda, 2D Legend of Zelda type. I know that it's that those kinds of games,
like the Masters of Anima,
kind of, yeah, like a, or exactly, you know, like that. There you go. That's actually a good example of like a game that's pretty fun. Like, we're gonna see how good these controls hold up and how well I can multitask. But it is something that is not a 2D platformer that I actually have enjoyed the first part of it. We'll see how the rest of it goes. But
I would, and sorry, this is Eric, right?
Edward Parker.
Edward. I would say, Edward, if you were looking for a good 3D platformer game, do check out Mulaka. Came out at the beginning of February. I really enjoyed that one, actually. That was really, really cool. So check out Mulaka.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Right on. Next email. I can read this one. You notice how I got you to read the long one, Justin, and I'm going to read the short
one. I noticed that. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning. You're making welcome. Me read the long one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know what? You got to earn your keep. I don't. Yeah. This is from TJ Shytower. This is the one who emailed last week, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. So he says my wife and I are grateful you read our email on the podcast and for the encouragement. I wanted to mention we are parents. My 3-year-old son has special needs, so we don't game much together. But he does love to watch games being played. My 6-year-old daughter loves playing Odyssey, Mario Kart, and Kirby. My wife is an avid kart player. We joke if our marriage can survive Mario Kart, then it can survive anything. thanks so much. I'm humbled and grateful. TJ Shytower. Dude, anytime. You guys are doing good things over there, and hope everything with your family's going well. Things being a parent is a crazy thing.
Yeah.
So you guys are doing good.
I would ask, I love his statement about if we can survive Mario Kart. Is there any game that you guys with your spouses play and it's kind of like there's, you know, there's a bit of heat around that? I know for us in the house currently, it is Overcooked. Mm-hmm. Overcooked has, I wouldn't say fights, but it has been like, you know, I don't, what's wrong with you in your life right now? Why can't you do this?
Yeah.
Right. Some core competencies where me and my wife have argued about it.
My first wife would be Mario Party,
and then she didn't do well Mario Party, so now he has a second one.
Yeah, Marty doesn't, or Jesse does not play Mario Party anymore.
For me, it's Snipper Clips. We have made it to a point that we may never get past.
Like in your marriage or in
no, in Super Clips. I think we're kind of pulling back on the Snipper Clips, you know, so that we actually continue to have a marriage. And it may have been, you know, the time that the word idiot was used, and along with the phrase of what in the crap are you doing? Turn the cog. Just turn
That's
it.
Amazing.
Just turn, no, don't turn it that way. Turn it the other way.
That's
and then
awesome.
She was like, I can't take this anymore.
I'm not going to be
and
this.
We were both, I mean, we were both, it was like, we were both mad at each other, like over it, because if you've played Snipper Clips at length, then you know there's these puzzles that you have to solve eventually that involve you turning a cog, and you have to turn your little guy in, like you have to cut gears out of your shape.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's stupid. That is designed to chisel away at the foundation of a family unit, is what that is.
You're exactly right. That,
yeah. No, seriously.
Somebody said, what is the most heinous thing that we can do, you know?
Yeah.
We can make him have to turn a cog.
Oh, man, that's a metaphor for so much in my life right now. No, just kidding. Not really, but yeah, no.
I tried Overcooked, too.
I haven't tried that.
This was my wife's actual quote. She says, this game makes me too stressed.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Like, and she said, real cooking is not this stressful.
Yeah.
And I said, well, in real cooking, a dog is not the chef in a moving van out in the desert.
In real life, they don't make
the
food. The
sides of the kitchen are shifting back and forth. You know, you didn't cook hamburgers in the kitchen last night on a pirate ship. So
in the middle of a naval battle.
It's not as stressful.
Yeah, no, the one that I have, my wife and I actually don't play a whole lot of games together. She's very much like, she is all about like Words with Friends. And actually the dynamic that usually happens in mine is that every couple of days she's like, would you hurry up and play your words? And I do that. And then 5 minutes later, she's saying it again. And I'm like, no, this is me being held hostage is what this is that I got roped into playing Words with Friends. And then it's like a pyramid scheme or something where she plays and then, or I play mine in order to do my husbandly duty. And then she immediately plays her word and then she wants me to do it again. And it's like a never ending thing. It's never enough. It's terrifying. So
there are not enough words.
I know. It's like joining a cult in some weird way.
Problem is,
I don't know. It's crazy.
In the game to make the words.
I don't know what it is, but it's
a cult.
Yeah, exactly. I ended up playing one game with her where I opened up the game and I looked at I kid you not, my letters were like E E E A O. I was like, this is nonsense. I was like, this is terrible. What's going
Where's
on?
Where's the mulligan button?
Yeah, either that or the other one is Dr. Mario, because that is a game that she consistently is better than me at, and I don't think that will ever change. And I don't know. I feel like we kind of got to the point where we just decided that we don't play very many video games together anymore. So, you know,
if you guys get lucky one of these days, I'll tell you the story about how Dr. Mario almost ruined Christmas at between me and my wife one year.
Nice.
That feels like a video series that you need to make.
Yeah,
that sounds like a story for our holiday special.
Yeah. Yep. This Christmas we'll have fireside chats.
You know what would be hilarious is to do that, and also to make it one of those like animated storybook sort of things, you know, where like we record the audio for the story and then somebody else animates it.
I think we should contact Gary.
That'd be amazing. Does Gary? Oh, that's right. Yeah, dude. Oh,
yeah. Remember that time for those of you that are new to the series, we had a short-lived animated
news segment
series. Video segment for about a month and a half.
Yeah, but dude.
We'll check that out.
That'd be funny.
We should probably move into our.
I remember this.
Our so. what's upcoming?
Yeah, dude. Let's do that.
I've got something just for the Retro Rewind for upcoming. So, yeah, do we have a bumper for upcoming stuff? I can't remember.
Here.
Like something.
Wobble Puffet. Wobble Buffet.
Sounds about right.
There it is.
Jerk. So for upcoming guys, this weekend, if for those of you that are in the UK, it is EGX Resd, which is a huge gaming conference, which we are very excited to be at as part of the press. Now, actually, I'm not going to be able to make it, but our UK correspondent, Mr. Gary Gray himself, will be there. And I have been coordinating Gary's schedule for him with several companies for interviews. And unfortunately that man is back to back for about 7 hours.
I was going to say, man, you've got him booked solid.
Yeah.
My normal office day.
He is going to be getting hands-on with games such as The Spectrum Retreat, Dead End Job, Shift Quantum, Shaq Fu, Grip, Victor Van, Travis Strikes Again, Claws of Fury, and Castronauts, all with interviews, with time with the developer hands-on. Plus, Nintendo has their own Nindies booth that they're going to be showing off a ton of games. So Gary is going to be getting us a whole bunch of content. So watch our YouTube channel this weekend for it. But also my big point here is that if you are at EGX Resd, let us know. I know we have a couple people who are going to be there. You can also hit up Gary, and his Twitter handle is @flatcap_gamer. He's going to be there. You can probably meet up with him as well. Just fantastic guy. Super cool to hang out with. But if you're also going to be at EGX, let us know. Send us long pictures. Send us in audio files, video files, or whatever, how your experience was. It is a huge gaming conference over here in the UK. So we're excited to be able to support it as well.
Very cool.
Marty, what about Retro Rewind?
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier on in the show that we are sitting at 16-7. The voting is right now for Super Castlevania 4 versus Arcade Archives Punch-Out. We will close down voting later on today as you hear this episode. And from there, we'll make that announcement and begin to play through one of those games and record later this month. And you know, we had looked back and a lot of our Retro Rewind games over the last little bit have been kind of heavier games, have been kind of longer games. So we wanted to give people a game that they could finish maybe in a weekend this time or even a weekday, you know, if they got, you know, 3 or 4 hours. And so these, both of these games fulfill that, and we'll be doing that. We'll also be, for the first time, drawing our first ever winner of a $50 eShop credit. If you are a patron, this weekend you will be entered in a drawing. It doesn't matter if you're a $1 patron or up to the $30 level or above. If you are a patron of the show, you will be included in a drawing for that, and that is one of our goals as part of Patreon that you guys have helped us to get to. And so somebody is going to be getting some free eShop money here soon.
Money.
Can buy, you know, Donkey Kong or Zelda or the Adventure Pals or Devious Dungeon or Masters of Enema or whatever.
Which for most of those videos, except for Master of Enema, might I encourage people to head over to our YouTube channel. So not only – so this week alone, we have put up some videos for people to be aware of. So here's the things you need to be aware of. So Gary Gray and Paul Loy got hands-on with Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. I've got 20 minutes of Venture Pals. We've got an Amiibo unboxing. Marty talked about Devious Dungeon. We've got time on with that. We've got Detective Pikachu review. We've also got Marty's reaction to Mega Man X. We've got the first 20 minutes of Masters of Anima. What? No, that's not right. And
can't stop and it now.
We can't stop.
You've
it
said
now.
It so many and, times
and,
now.
And also the Nintendo Switch review of Last Day of June from our community creator program, and that's from Nick as well. So guys, if you are not on our YouTube channel, head over there, subscribe. We are putting up almost content every single day, and we actually have an upcoming interview with the creator of Super Meat Boy Forever, where we actually sat down with him and talked about Super Meat Boy Forever. Well, he actually played it for about 25 minutes, and it was a fantastic chat. That's with Tommy himself. So we're going to be releasing that very soon. So guys, head over to Nintendo Dads on YouTube and hit that subscribe button.
Absolutely. All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here tonight. It has been a good time. Huge thanks to our Patreon producers, Chris Mears, Dave Ernsberger, and Timothy Elf. Head over to patreon.com/NintendoDads to support us. If you want to follow us on all the social medias, you can do so, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram @NintendoDads. If you want to email us, NintendoDads@gmail.com. If you want to watch videos and such, you can go to Twitch or YouTube, look for Nintendo Dads, and you'll find us. Call and leave us a voicemail, 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Huge thanks to OC Remix for our music throughout the show, as well as to both Carter Johnson and Adam Lettern for our amazing artwork. And, of course, if you want to change the world, go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, written reviews are even better. And if you want to subscribe, go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and, of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Justin, for Jesse, and for Marty, we will see you next time. Bye-bye. guess it's over. I guess that's over.
What the? Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
Stupid kids.
Oh, man.